in our family, we haven't seen this before. But as long as it's not harmful, it's not haram.
It's okay.
It's okay. And not just it's okay, but we'll also support it. Okay. Show support.
Okay.
Don't ignore it as well. Because very often teenagers, they also want attention from this. So if they're bringing sushi at home, this is a very silly example, I know, but just as an example, if they bring sushi at home, for example,
okay,
be supportive. Be say, wow, I'll try it as well.
Okay.
However hard that might be, try it. Support it, strengthen it. It really builds bonds with the teenagers.
Okay, so you're trying to say that if our teenagers are trying to do some new things that sound a little weird to us, if we have to analyze if the things they are doing are in line with religion, we have to show support for them. Well, I'll talk more on that with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic upbringing. We have Brother McDodd with us in the studio. Brother McDodd, you were saying how do we deal with the teenagers who do different things?
The second light is the yellow or orange light.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is when your teenager comes with a very new thing, but that is kind of against certain principles that we have at home.
Okay.
Or in most cases, it's a borderline that with something that will very quickly could potentially turn into something haram.
Okay.
Or something harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Or thirdly, it's something that you know stems from something that's not good. So in itself, it's not a bad thing, but you know that where it's coming from is not a good thing.
Okay.
Just give you a few examples. So a particular hairstyle, but very exotic or very out there hairstyle, for example.
Okay.
So in itself, it's not a bad thing. Right? Uh-huh. It's not a haram hairstyle, but you know that it's coming from somewhere else. It's being influenced by a particular person, a particular role model,
or particular celebrity,
or you know that it can lead to something greater, more dangerous. Or take, for example, to give a couple of more examples. One is drinking drinks that are very close to alcohol but not haram.
Okay.
Right. So there are bottles of beer, for example.
Yeah.
That look exactly like beers. That even name behind that as well, but in terms of Shar'an, they're very halal. There's nothing alcoholic in it.
Okay.
But you know from different contexts that this is coming from somewhere else.
All right.
So it's not haram in itself, but you know that there is something behind it.
Where it roots from.
Exactly. So this is where your orange light comes up in the traffic light, where you don't necessarily
stop
it or oppose it. Right?
But you do not either support.
Exactly. So you don't support it. You observe what's happening without interfering first. Right. So, and you find out what's happening. Where does it come from? Where is a friend circle? Is it a matter of lack of confidence? Have they been watching or listening to something particular that has led to this? Find out and identify the source for this.
Okay.
And then tackle with the source. So don't oppose directly the action itself, but tackle the source and tackle it with obviously respect, with a discussion, with
smartness
and tactfulness, basically, in a way that you deal, but don't, as I mentioned, don't deal with the action yourself. Deal with what's happening in the background, basically. That background is the source of it. That's the way you want to tackle it. And this is very important. Through different ways you can do this. Very indirect approach.
Okay.
Very often through dialogue, through finding out more. Mm-hmm. Even sometimes to taking some actions, basically.
And you also said that we don't need to interfere. We need to observe first. Because interfering.
Why? Because we need to be sure that this is... Because sometimes you could sense it, but you might not be 100% sure. So make sure you know where this is coming from first.
Yes. So research and analysis and observation is necessary before we say or do anything. Brother, I'll be talking to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are saying how we can deal with the teenagers who come up with weird things. Now we just discussed two forms of dealing in the form of a traffic light where you can support and where you can be a little cautious. And now where to stop?
So the red light is where teenagers come with things that are haram. In our religion, against our Sharia, or things that are very strongly against cultural or social norms and principles that everybody deals with them or everybody lives by them, and your teenagers go against them very strongly.
Okay.
These are things that are red lights, so you oppose them. But obviously, how do we oppose them is through discussion, firstly. So you discuss with your teenager about why this is something that we don't want, basically. Why we don't respect this, why we don't like this to happen in our
so
house.
You have to come up with your own reason first.
Exactly. You have to discuss it.
Okay.
Never criticize the person. Never criticize the teenager and says, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl. Or
how do you do this?
Exactly. Why do you do this, etc. Always talk about the action. Say that this, doing this, for example, is
can
not a right
this.
Thing to do. This. Exactly. So never criticize the person. Always talk about the action itself.
Okay.
Always show care and concern. So don't say, I'm opposing it because it's against my religion, against my house, and against my culture. No. Show concern for the person, for the teenager. Say, because I want the best for you, because I want you to be successful in life, because I want you to get closer to Allah and be happy in your life. Because of you, I'm saying that this is something that this should not be done, basically. Or this is something that should stop from happening. And you should take care of not doing this. So showing a lot of care, a lot of concern, a lot of love for the teenagers, and a lot of respect as well. Understand them, hear them out. Very often you find that there might be a misunderstanding, right? So always clarify the misunderstanding. Say, okay, ask them, where does this come from? Why does this happen? What are they trying to achieve through this, by doing this? And through that, you'll be able to understand. But show your opposition to this. Show that you're
opposition,
not happy with it.
Yeah.
Have logical and clear arguments. And have clear lines as well. Self, if you do this, then this is the red line. But if you change a little bit, then you could be actually very okay.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It could be, for example, something that's haram, for example. But if they were to change a little bit, then they would actually be okay to do it.
Okay.
Take the example of music, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes when you want to deal with music, you can tell them, look, if you change music, and because music is haram, this type of music, you can suggest alternative to music.
Okay.
Right? Don't say, I'll take your headphones away and you can't listen to anything. Say, this is haram, but what if you choose another type of music, for example?
You have to provide alternatives.
Exactly. And show them that you care and you understand
your
them.
Concern.
You're listening, you're concerned. And
okay, but most of the parents, you know, why they fail over here is because I think they kind of try to show power, the authority, rather than discussing things or showing concern. So you recommend and you suggest, rather than showing the authority and power, we need to show care and concern and The best way is to discuss things with the teenagers, and when you're taking away something haram from them, you have to provide them with the alternatives, obviously with the halal alternatives. Well, that was all for today. Thank you so much, brother, for joining us. Thank you so much to our listeners for being with us. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions for us or any suggestions, comments for a program, please feel free to contact us on EnglishRadio@irib.ir. You can also search us on our social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. In case you want to listen to our programs again, you can go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
In the limelight.
It's clear that AIPAC has its work cut out for it in boosting its preferred candidates in democratic primaries. Under the circumstances, it makes good sense to use Republican mega-donors' money and make no mention of the Israeli regime if AIPAC wants to raise money and effectively engage democratic voters. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Illy Clifton, investigative journalist. This article is published under the heading, AIPAC's New Strategy. Spend millions on elections. Don't mention Israeli regime. Here's more. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee's announcement late last year that it would launch a super PAC, the United Democracy Project, and endorse candidates sent shockwaves through foreign policy and advocacy communities. AIPAC had long refrained from engaging in electoral politics, preferring instead to lobby members of Congress to support maintaining the Zionist regime's nearly $4 billion in annual military and other aid from the United States. But now that the Super PAC is active, raising over $27 million and running ads to support or oppose Democratic primary candidates for the 2022 midterms, it's becoming clear that UDP's fundraising and spending strategy is raise money from hawkish Trump-supporting GOP big donors and spend on ads to benefit Democratic candidates who won't question U.S. policy towards the U.S. biggest foreign military aid recipient. Curiously, though, the ads paid for by UDP, affiliated with the largest pro-Israel group in the country, don't mention the group's central issue, the Israeli regime. And that might be because AIPAC's central issue, the Israeli regime, has a remarkably little salience with U.S. voters. Polling conducted between 2010 and 2020 by the J Street, a Democratic Party-aligned group often at odds with AIPAC on a host of issues, reveals that Jewish voters, a demographic often expected to prioritize candidates' views on the Israeli regime, place an extremely low priority on Israel-related issue in elections. In a decade of polling, J Street found that the Zionist regime was a top two voting issue for between 4 and 10% of Jewish voters. In June, AIPAC rankled Democrats and earned extensive coverage in Jewish American and Israeli news outlets by endorsing 37 Republicans who voted against certifying President Joe Biden's election victory. AIPAC defended its decision to endorse the candidates to run campus at the Jewish Telegraph Agency. As a single-issue organization, we remain focused on our mission of building bipartisan support in Congress to strengthen the U.S.-Israel relationship, AIPAC spokesperson Marshall Whitman told campus. But AIPAC's super PAC didn't seem to get that message. Their ads don't mention the Israeli regime, AIPAC's single issue, and explicitly made an issue of the contested election in an ad boosting Michigan State Senator Adam Holyer. When Donald Trump tried to throw out Detroit's presidential vote, Adam Holyer fought alongside Governor Whitmer to stop him. Said an ad supporting Holyer in August 2nd Democratic primary for Michigan's 13th district. Holyer lost the primary, but the ad revealed the cynical opportunism behind AIPAC's electoral strategy that leads the organization to endorse candidates who oppose certifying the election results while running ads promoting another candidate's work to certify the election, all while avoiding mention of the single issue that qualifies candidates from both sides of the contested election to earn AIPAC support. Last week, AIPAC PAC Director Merlin Rosenthal and United Democracy Project CEO Rob Basin answered questions about their electoral strategy from Jewish Insider. Rosenthal said their campaign work is allowing us to clearly define who is and who is not pro-Israel. Unquote. When asked about the Israeli regime not playing a significant role in AIPAC's campaign messaging, Basin responded, I would just say about that, first of all, the issues that UDP has focused on have been the issues that are foremost on the minds of voters. That being said, I think the views of the candidates on the U.S.-Israel relationship have been made clear on their websites and their position papers in their voting records. Unquote. Perhaps the most telling aspect of UDP's work has been where the group raises and spends its money. Two of UDP's biggest individual funders are Home Depot co-founder Bernard Marcus and hedge fund manager Paul Singer. Both contributed $1 million to the UDP Super PAC. Both are Trump backers and Republican Party mega donors, regularly contributing millions of dollars to Republican candidates in each election cycle. That's in sharp contrast to where UDP spends its money. Democratic primaries. UDP's decision to influence Democratic primaries in order to defeat incumbents deemed insufficiently pro-Israel, with funds partially originating from Republican megadonors while actively avoiding mention of the group's organizing principle, the belief that America's partnership with Democratic ally, the Israeli regime, benefits both countries. Maybe a symptom of the Democratic Party's drift away from unconditional support for the Zionist regime. The UDP did not respond to a request for comment about why their campaign ads avoid mention of the Israeli regime. Only 0.5% of Democrats listed the Zionist regime as their first choice when asked to name the two countries that you think are the most important allies of the United States today, according to a University of Maryland survey conducted in March. Only 0.9% listed the Israeli regime as their second choice. The most popular choices by Democrats were the UK and Canada. Among Republicans, 20% listed the Zionist regime as their first choice selection and 9.3% listed the Israeli regime as their second choice. With those starkly contrasting numbers, it's clear that AIPAC has its work cut out for it in boosting its preferred candidates in Democratic primaries. Under the circumstances, it makes good sense to use Republican megadonors' money and make no mention of the fake regime of Israel if AIPAC wants to raise money and effectively engage Democratic voters.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z, an introduction into Husseini lifestyle. Today's lesson, Braveness of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. And in today's lesson, we are talking about the braveness of Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam. No personality was braver. No personality was determined and more valiant than the personality of Al-Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Al-Imam Hussein is seen throughout all the stages of the history of humanity, because his eminence on the day of Karbala was in such a position that the intellects are perplexed and minds are bewildered at it. All the minds were bewildered, all people were surprised of how this particular eminent, this particular Imam was. Imam Hussein had a very surprising position in the land of Karbala. The generations venerate his memory and regard his bravery with absolute astonishment. Everyone was astonished about his personality at the time, and people have considered his valor higher to that of the well-known valor of his father. He was braver than his father was. He's considered to be braver than his father was, considering and looking at the fight that he took, looking at the stand that he took in the land of Karbala. People could easily consider that he was much braver than his father was at the time, because his father faced so many battles, of course, with braveness and everything, but not a battle resembles the battle of Karbala. So his cowardly enemies were shocked by the strength of his determination and the aim, because the Imam did not stay back. He had that type of valor, the type of braveness that everybody never really understood. Everybody was shocked, including the enemies. They were so much shocked with his braveness. And this is one of the very main important traits that we learn from the life of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam.
Why is my heart set on fire when I hear you?
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله
وعلى الأرواح
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. We're talking about the braveness of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. In today's topic, the braveness of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam really is something for us to reflect. When we look upon the happening of Karbala, the fight of Karbala, we realize that he was such a personality that stood braver every time when he was in front of his enemy. His cowardly enemies were definitely shocked by the strength of this particular personality, his determination, Al-Imam Hussein's determination and aim, because the Imam never stepped back due to the continuous horrible strikes that befell him, one after the other. They were fighting him, sending every type of weapon against him, but he never stood back. And the more the difficulties increased and the calamities intensified, the more steadfast he became and the more his face shone. And, you know, when all his followers and his Ahlul Bayt were martyred, all the armies consisting of 30,000 mercenaries, according to some reports, surrounded the Imam alayhi salam from all sides. But you see, the Imam, though the lone survivor, attacked the hordes with ferocity of a wolf attacking a herd of goats, and the enemies despaired in fear and trepidation. They were fleeing in front of him in all directions, and he was like a firm mountain, and he faced the swords from all sides in such a manner that there was no sort of laxity on his part. He did not care for death with all his bravery. Sayyid Haider says, when he alone, Al-Imam Hussein, faced a particular group, all groups were terrified before him. His spear was on his fingertips as if they had made their swords for that same purpose. The sword was married to the self, and its door was death, and its henna, the dust and soil of the battlefield. Thank you so much for listening. Till next episode, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of A to Z. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page, where you can find all our previous programs and many others as well. Until another episode and another lesson, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Better friends than you, but anyone stay here won't be alive tomorrow. You can save yourself tonight and go. A deep silence fills the air.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Stunning scenes in Spain as the last supermoon of the year illuminates the night sky amid fireworks and fairs marking the start of festivities for a public holiday. In Malaga, fireworks left the sky a mix of colors against a bright moon. There was also a spectacle of drones that lightened the sturgeon moon. Locals in the Canary Islands also celebrated the three-day holiday by lighting up a Ferris wheel as the full moon beamed beautifully in the sky. If the moon is within 10% of its closest distance to Earth at the moment of full moon, it is called a supermoon. The supermoon has various hues and appears bigger and brighter than when the moon is at its farthest point from Earth. Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a 5-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round. We start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons they left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also notice the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
Technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinong County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinong has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life. If you're a private collector of wild animals, there is good news for you. A Pakistani zoo is auctioning off a dozen lions due to a lack of money to feed them and a space to house them. Lahore Safari Zoo currently has so many big cats that they have to take turns accessing paddocks. Officials say auctioning them will free up space and also reduce expenses. Zoo is currently housing 29 lions. The lions auctioned this week will be between 2 to 5 years of age. Each big cat is estimated to fetch around 150,000 Pakistan rupees. That's not too much, as some zookeepers claim. Even conservationists have expressed anger over auctioning lions to private collectors instead of transferring them to other zoos. Happy news for zoo goers in Nicaragua. Two adorable baby tapirs are born at a country's national zoo south of Managua, adding attractions to the visitors. Two endangered tapirs, a male and a female, were born hours apart at the weekend. In a video shared by the zoo, one of the newborns is seen suckling and walking near her mother. The director of the zoo says the babies are yet to be named but are in perfect health. Tapirs inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America, with one species inhabiting Southeast Asia. They look something like pigs with trunks, but they are actually related to horses and rhinos. Nicaragua launched a project that seeks to conserve this animal in danger of extinction due to hunting and the destruction of natural habitat.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Now we'll take you to mind-riddled French island, Chazoms, which is emerging from the ruins and gradually turning into workers' paradise. Chazoms, close to the port city of Saint-Malo, has an amazing landscape but remains uninhabited as it saw a devastating bombardment by the Allies during the World War II. The Nazi-occupied island was victim of the most bombings per square meter. Known as Martyred and Forbidden Island, it was opened only in 2018 after extensive demining efforts allowed the opening of a marked path. Now, every year, thousands of day trippers make the short boat journey, marveling at the spectacular maritime views and flourishing wildlife there. The safe area still makes up just 3% of the island, but it lets visitors wander between rusty cannons and bunkers. Some workers say they hope the trail will be lengthened to allow a complete tour of the island.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism. The Jamtal Glacier in Austria has been losing around 1 meter of its surface annually. Scientists say the ice is a precious archive that is simply melting away and are surveying the area. Austrian mountain researchers say the glaciers contain an invaluable trove of ancient frozen leaves and twigs and other scientific treasures that can be lost forever. They say the time capsules, including the remote Jamtal Valley, are falling victim to climate change. In the 1990s, tourists found that 5,300-year-old mummy of Iceman near the same area. According to the international data, global warming has raised temperatures in Europe's highest mountains by nearly 2 degrees Celsius in the past 120 years. French rescuers are racing against time to save a beluga whale stranded in Seine River near Paris. The beluga was first spotted stuck between two locks in the river from Paris to the English Channel on Tuesday. Specialists say the animal is undernourished and is refusing food. Warm water is also worsening the health of this creature, which is normally seen near Norway, some 3,000 kilometers to the north. Rescuers say they have only up to 48 hours to save the whale. They are now looking at the possibility of taking the beluga out of the water, treating it, and eventually transferring it out to the sea.
There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste
a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day since the menu largely includes local flavors.
Visitors and staff at a French zoo have celebrated the first birthday of twin pandas. The young bears were given a tasty treat of frozen cakes and other treats. As part of the event, five lucky visitors were also given the chance to participate in the celebrations behind the scenes with golden tickets. Other festivities included face painting and panda-themed activities. The baby pandas were born last August and now weigh 23 and 28 kilograms. They live with their mother at Zoo Parc de Bouval, where they have been on display since their arrival in 2021.
Many people develop deeper relationships with four-legged animals, treating them like their own kids. A Kenyan conservationist is one of them. 33-year-old Salome Lemercier has been a community ranger in Sierra Conservancy, northern Kenya, since 2015. The mother of four is stationed at a rhino sanctuary and is in charge of protecting a male rhino named Loijipo. At just a few days old, Loijipo was abandoned by his mother, possibly due to her being spooked by something. After being cared for, he was returned to the sanctuary under surveillance in an attempt to rewild him. 3 years on from his release into Sierra Wilderness, he is taking his time to carve out his territory, of course, with the help of Salome.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. Welcome back again, respected brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining us again. I hope you're fine, inshallah. Let's continue our discussions on the different types of mad. Alhamdulillah, we finished mad wajib al-muttasil, which means a mad which is mandatory, and there were two conditions. If a word or a mad meets any both of those conditions, you have to apply the rule of mad wajib muttasil. Yes, so the conditions were this: that first and foremost, it should have a mad letter. Mad letter. Alif mad, waw mad, or
yai mad.
Second condition was this: that there has to be a hamza, and both of them should be in the same word. In that case, this is called mad wajib muttasil. For example, sha'a, alif mad plus hamza. Okay, so if we have just opposite, first hamza, then alif mad, that was madul badal, right?
Badal.
For two counts. But this one, you have to prolong it for four up to five. Okay. Ulaika. Ulaika, we have a lot. Okay, the word ulaika, we have a lot. And the word ja'a, we have a lot. The word sha'a, and also sama, we have a lot. So let's go to mad ja'iz al munfasil. Mad al ja'iz al munfasil, okay? We said that ja'iz means permitted and or allowed, okay? You have the permission, it's optional. And munfasil means separated, okay? So ja'iz means permitted, you know this, yes?
Yes.
Means allowed, you have the option to either prolong it or no. And munfasil means separated,
yes.
Okay? Not in the same word. So it means it's just the opposite of... It doesn't have that second condition. What was the second condition in Mad Muttasil?
Having
both of them, yeah, Hamza, and also both of them should be in the same word. But this doesn't have this condition. So it means that we have Harf Mad, Alif, Waw, or Ya in a word, and that in the last letter, okay? The last letter of that word. And the next word starts with Hamza. So what does it mean? It means two words are there. The first word ends with an alif mad, waw mad, or ya mad. The second word starts or begins with
Hamza.
Hamza. So two words we have. Okay? Mad. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you have to apply the rule of mad jaiz munfasil. What does it mean? It means you are allowed, okay, to prolong it for 4 up to 5 counts. Or if you do not like it, 2 counts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's it.
Yes.
So for example, we say Suratul Qadr. Can you recite Suratul Qadr? Bismillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Great. Okay, Hussain Ruhullah. Bismillah, inna anzalna.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Oh, great. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Okay. Once we apply the rule, once we do not apply, okay? Once for 2 counts, once for 4 counts. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Okay, great. Okay, now we will apply the rule, okay? Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Okay, it is ja'iz, okay?
Yes.
That you can prolong it for 4 counts, 5 counts, or if you don't like it, if you are going to, like, well, you will, like, run out of breath, okay? So just do not prolong it, okay, for 2 counts.
Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
Sometimes we have ya ayyuhan nas. So you might have listened.
Ya ayyuhan nas.
Look, I applied the rule. Ya ayyu. Ya alif mad plus ayyu starts with hamza.
Yes.
They are not in the same word. Two words. Ya we have. Ayyu we have. So two words.
Ya ayyuhan nas.
Now I do not apply. I don't like it. It's optional.
Ya ayyuhan nas.
Yes.
Ya ayyuhan nas. Ya ayyuhan nas. Ya ayyuhan nas.
Or ya ayyuhal ladhin aman.
Ya ayyuhal ladhin.
I like this. Apply the rule now. Ali Nasir. Ya ayyuhal ladhin aman.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا.
أحسن يا أيها. Now you do not apply. Just go on. Normal.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
Iqra. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq.
When I didn't know this before, for example, okay? Before I knew this, okay, I sometimes, when I was listening to the reciters, okay, I was asking myself, why are they like skipping the mad? There is a mad on the top. Mat sign is there. Don't you see that big mat sign, okay, that you say, Ya ayyuhal ladhina? It is mad. You gotta apply the rule, okay? I didn't know this. This is jaiz, okay? Because mad letter and also hamza both are not in the same word, okay? Separate words. So I didn't know this. That's why I was always objecting and complaining, okay? But when I knew this, I understood that, yes, it's like optional. You can do it. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. One of my teachers, okay, he is hafiz also, okay, he has memorized all the Quran and also he is a good reciter, okay, and he was not like applying the rule, okay, not paying attention to the mad. I was always asking myself this question, why this teacher, you know, he is a hafiz, he is a great teacher, but why he doesn't know this rule? I didn't know that. I did not know the rule, okay? So when I understood this, I said, oh yeah, you were right, teacher. So let's practice some examples. Inna anzalna.
Inna anzalna.
Okay, Ali Nasir.
Inna anzalna.
Ahsan, now together.
Inna anzalna.
Okay, we apply the rule, yes? It's optional. Now, next ayah we do not apply the rule, okay?
Alladhi anqadha dhahrak. Alladhi anqadha dhahrak.
Ahsan. Alladhi mad. Ya'i maddi we have. Alladhi plus
hamza.
The next word starts with hamza. But they are not in the same word. Okay? That's why in the two separated words, so we do not apply the rule. Okay?
Yes.
It's optional.
الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكْ or الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكْ.
Yes.
Okay. Next example. Both of you, okay? Practice this after me.
الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ.
الذي أطعمهم.
الذي أطعمهم.
الذي أطعمهم.
We applied both options, yes?
Yes.
So, next one.
يلبث إلا.
يلبث إلا.
يلبث وومد. Plus, next word starts with
Hamza.
يلبثوا إلا.
يلبثوا إلا.
أحسن أحسن. Now let's go to some verses of the Quran al-Karim, okay? Let's apply these two types of mad. If we found any examples, we'll apply the rules. Then we'll go to the next type of mad, which is mad lazim, okay? Mad lazim, it means it's also kind of mandatory, okay? Obligatory. They are not difficult, okay? Only six names are there. Six types are there, okay? Four types. Four types are there, okay? But the names are kind of difficult, but they are not themselves, okay? Difficult, inshallah, we'll talk about it. So, can you go to Surah Maryam? Surah Maryam, okay? If respected brothers and sisters, if you have your Quran or you can get your Quran, so go to Surah Maryam, Salamullah Alayha, page 305, Juz 16. It starts with Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, Sad. So inshallah, when we go to the next type of mad, okay, we have this Kaf, Ha, Ya, Ayn, Sad. We have this example there. So let's go on.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
كاف ها يا عين صاد
كاف ها يا عين صاد
ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا
ذكر رحمة ربك عبده زكريا
أحسن. Pay attention to the next ayah, okay?
إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا
إذ نادى ربه نداء خفيا
Okay, listen to my recitation, okay? And make sure I do not make any mistake or... Is it correct if I recite this way or not? Listen. Go, pay attention to the word nida.
إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا
No, because it is wajib muttasil.
Ah, it's the mad is wajib muttasil. How? How did you understand this?
Because the hamza is and mad are in one word.
Alif mad nida, after that we have alif mad. And also hamza, both are in the same word. Nida. Okay. If they were two words... Hamza was another word, so yeah, of course, yes. It was jais. Great, mashallah.
إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي قال رب إني وهن العظم مني
Okay, we have two مد عارض للسكون here. Let's go on.
قال رب إني If we stop. Yes? We say
yes.
قال رب إني We prolong it for four up to six counts, yes?
Yes.
But if we have mad letter, yes? Ya mad di. Why do we prolong it?
Because we stop.
We stop. Okay? The first condition, harf mad should be there. Second condition, to stop here.
Yes.
If it does not stop here, you should not prolong it. Qala rabbi inni wahana. This is wrong. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَا Two counts, okay? مَدِ تَبِيِّ should be there.
Yes.
Have you stopped? Change مَدِ تَبِيِّ to a longer mat. Four counts or six counts. That's easy. Let's recite a salawat. But before a salawat, let's give thanks to Allah Almighty first and foremost. And then IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network that, alhamdulillah, they're holding this kind of Quranic sessions. May Allah bless them all, inshallah. Let's recite a salawat and we will be back, inshallah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is